Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you could be back with us tonight. I'm Dr. Todd Baker, pastor, teacher of Shalom Shalom Congregation, and director of Berit Chadashah Ministries here in Dallas, Texas. Folks, we come to you on Facebook and YouTube live every Thursday, mid to late morning, and we broadcast our live services here at Shalom every Friday evening, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. I haven't been on Wednesday for 2 weeks, but Thursday, I have not been on for 2 weeks. Next Thursday, we hope to be back with you. But tonight, we want to give you part two of our 58th Gospel Outreach to Israel presentation. But before we get to that, we will be going back to Israel December 8th for this ministry's 59th Gospel Outreach. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we still are trying to raise funds for our 60th Gospel Outreach in sometime in April. So please pray about that. The support is still not there, but we hope to have it within the next, by December. So please pray for us, folks. When you support this ministry, you show your love for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I'm not being dramatic or manipulative when I say that. That's the simple truth, because not many ministries, let alone our small congregation, makes it a point to follow the divine order of evangelism given in Romans 1:16, and that is that the gospel is to go to the Jew first. And you know who first set that precedent? The Lord Jesus in his ministry. Twice in the Gospel of Matthew, he said he was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew 10. And then in Matthew 15, when he sent out the 12, he prohibited them from going into the way of the Samaritan and Gentile, but going to Israel. Now, having said that, we're not saying we only go to the Jews and we just throw away the lost Gentile world. Don't put words in our mouth and don't falsely accuse us. We go to the Jew first and then the Gentile. And you'll see this epitomized in this outreach. We minister to Arabs, Arab nominal Christians, Arab Muslims, whenever the Lord opened the door to whomever. But mostly our audience was Jewish because you're in the Jewish state. So statistically speaking, that's going to be most of your audience. And I want to give thanks to the Lord because, folks, we've been doing this ministry now full time by a shoestring budget since July of 2024. And we must continue to do that. And we must continue with these outreaches. And that's why I would humbly ask you to help support this ministry. I want to thank everybody in here, by the way. Everybody in here supports this ministry, and we appreciate it. We try to conserve and every dollar and spend it only when we necessarily have to. And, you know, Paul said, I believe in 1 Corinthians 9:14, they that preach the gospel should be supported by the gospel. And then he told Timothy not to muzzle the ox that treads the corn. So people who are in ministry should be supported. They should be paid. It would be absurd for you to go to work and then your boss tell you, look, I'm not going to pay you. You're just going to have to do this for free. And yet that seems to be the inverted and double standard in some quarters of the church, that ministers should just do what they're doing for free. Now, before you say, well, Jesus said, freely you have received, now freely give. Well, that would contradict what Paul said, that they that preach the gospel should be financially supportive of the gospel. But what Jesus was talking about there when he said that was the gospel going out to people. You don't charge them for giving them the gospel. Quite different from a full-time ministry being supported by your local fellowship and individual believers. So, folks, we do need your support. Some of our support lessened last month, And I'm not here to cast aspersions. Some people have been out of work. Others, their businesses have declined. It's a sagging economy, but yet they still gave. So I want to commend them for giving sacrificially. Greg Hartwig, who's not here tonight, he said something very profound last Friday. He said, just because you make less money, the Bible says just because you make less money doesn't mean you should stop supporting ministry. And he's right. So we would ask, give whatever you can. And when you do give, you will share in our rewards at the Bema Seat of Christ, because your funds enable us to do this ministry. That's why Jesus said in Luke's gospel, make to yourselves friends of unrighteous mammon that they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Some have thought that's a very cryptic saying. What did Jesus mean by that? In other words, you use the world's money to do the kingdom of God's work so you can bring the lost into everlasting habitations. Heaven, amen? It's about plundering hell to populate heaven, and it starts at ground zero in Israel. And if you would like to support us, then click on that donate link. It'll take you to our safe, secure, encrypted link where you can make a safe and sure donation. And again, we appreciate it. It's critical we continue these gospel outreaches to Israel because, and again, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. We are one of very few in the body of Christ that's doing this. And we've even had messianic leaders over there complain that compliment us saying, it's great what you're doing over here. And then they could rightfully complain that no one else is doing this. Believers in the land are not doing it. Believers abroad among the messianics are not doing it, let alone the Gentile church. And one of them supplies our Bibles because they were so impressed with what we were doing in the midst of a spiritual ghost town of lack of gospel ministry in Israel. So again, please help us out if you can. Click on that donate link, and we really appreciate it. We're also on YouTube, Berit-Hadashah Ministries. Check us out. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we are on Facebook also, Todd Baker. And if you would like to learn what this ministry is doing up and to the present outreach, then may I suggest you subscribe to our free quarterly newsletter, Search the Scriptures. In about a week and a half, I'll be working on the fall 2025 edition. We're late getting it out this year, but this is our summer 2025 edition. If you're interested in subscribing, then go to our website, toddbaker.org, or searchthescripturesonline.org. Take your pick and click on our newsletter link and sign up. If you would like the snail mail black and white edition, then please email us your full mailing address. If you would like the color email edition of Search the Scriptures, then give us your full name and your email address. Amen. Well, folks, let's get into this. Part two of our 58th Gospel Outreach to Israel presentation. And I begin with this, and I will end tonight with this scripture. Romans 10, 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's a rhetorical question expecting a negative answer. They won't hear the gospel if one is not sent to them. They won't hear the word of God if a preacher is not sent to them. Verse 15, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? So, in other words, the people of Israel are not going to hear the gospel unless preachers and evangelists are sent to them. And fortunately, this ministry is being sent to share the glorious and wonderful saving love of Yeshua with his own ethnic brothers and sisters. The last time we left off in part one of this presentation ended with us arriving in Jerusalem. And so that's where we were on our first full day of ministry in the golden city of Jerusalem. The Lord had us walk in the outdoor Mamilla Mall. We stepped into an Italian leather bag and purse shop where we met an affable Orthodox Jewish lady, as you see here. Her name was Hannah. Right away, God worked on her heart as we got into a variety of topics related to Israel, the Messiah, and the Berit Hadashah, Hebrew for New Testament. On the latter topic, she blew us away when she said, now this is an Orthodox Jewish lady, she blew our minds when she said, the New Testament complements the Tanakh, the Old Testament. Hannah was originally born in the United States, I believe New York, and made Aliyah in Israel. Then she also said this to us, to properly understand the New Testament, you must first begin with the Old Testament. This was extraordinary, coming from one in the Orthodox Jewish community, considering they deem the New Testament and Yeshua forbidden and to be avoided by all Jews. August and I were able to share with Hannah the fact Yeshua, his atoning death on the tree, fulfilled, completed, and put an end to the animal sacrifices of the Berit Yashanah, the Old Covenant, and provides forgiveness of sins by God for all those who trust in his death and resurrection for salvation. Hebrews chapters 9 through 10, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Hannah not only listened to what we shared with her, but also ended up receiving a Hebrew Bible with both Testaments in one volume and Messianic gospel tracts from us. And she received it with joy and without hesitation. And this is what we pass out again. I'll show it to you. In Hebrew, you have the Torah, Ketuvim, Navi'im, and the Berit Chadashah. That's what it says in Hebrew. Translation, the law, the writings, the prophets in the New Testament. And we have three Hebrew Messianic gospel tracts in there. One on Messianic prophecy, listing 17 major Messianic prophecies from the Tanakh that Yeshua fulfilled in the Old Testament. And we have the Hebrew text in there. And below that, the English text. Then we have good old Chick tracts. And Chick tracts get read, and they do. This is Hebrew for Israel's past, present, and future. It's a prophetic overview of Israel's history from the Exodus from Mitzrayim, Egypt, to the second coming of the Messiah. And then we have another tract from Life and Messiah Ministries called L'chaim, how you can have eternal life and a personal relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through Ben Elohim, his son, Yeshua. So that is what we give out in Israel. So Hannah did receive both the complete Bible and Messianic gospel tracts with joy. Truly miraculous, considering that most Orthodox in the land would have nothing to do with Yeshua and the New Testament scriptures. Amen. So the bottom one is the forward one, you said? All right. So Shira was another receptive Israeli Jew in the Mamilla Mall. She also took a sincere interest in the Jewish gospel of Yeshua that we explained to her and how it was most important to her life. She was very receptive, so much so that we were able to go over some of the Messianic prophecies in Scripture using the Promised Messiah pamphlet. And we were able to explain how these prophecies were fulfilled by none other than Yeshua the Messiah. Cheryl was also grateful and very appreciative. We also returned the gift of God's word to her that came from the Jewish people. One of the things we'll say to the Jewish person over there is we would like, since it was the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, we would like to give you a metanah, as Hebrew for gift. And it's a gift that you first gave to the world. And then that's when we show them the scriptures and give them the Bible. To them, Paul says in Romans 3:2, were committed the oracles of God, Israel. So amen, amen to that. So we were able to give her the word of God and the Messianic gospel tracts so that she could have them in hand and come to know and believe in Ha'adon Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, for eternal life through our witnessing efforts. Oh. Okay, this was the King David Museum that we went into, and that's the Cyrus cylinder you see. Trying to remember what that was, 500 and something BC. And on that cylinder, Cyrus made a decree for the Jews to return to their land. Isaiah the prophet prophesied roughly 150 years beforehand that he would raise up a Persian king named Cyrus who would allow the Jewish people to return to their homeland. So we'll go through these very quickly. This is This model was something else. It's a translucent model made out of some durable plexiglass of the Second Temple. And it's gorgeous. It's lit up. This was the vast esplanade of the temple. These are the various courts of the temple. And, of course, the Holy of Holies is there. You can see a frontal shot of it. And this was the wall. This was the notice, the wall of partition, warning that if Gentiles cross the court of the Gentiles into the court of Israel, they do so at their own risk. And right here, these are patterns. You can't read the writing here, but they were able, from the Talmudic description of the temple floor, which is marble, the vast esplanade that you saw there. These are some of the patterns of the temple floor. It's gorgeous. And Zola Levitt rightly said that the Herod's temple should be considered the eighth wonder of the world, added to the seven wonders of the world. He's right about that. And there's the Antonium Fortress. That's where the Roman garrison was on the northern side of the Temple Mount. And I believe right here is the Hulda Gates. Jesus would have gone up through that portion. Those stairs are still there, some of them, on the southern side of the Temple Mount. Okay. So, we praise the Lord. The next day, our gospel ministry in Jerusalem was fruitful. It started in the morning at the Malkamal. We were elated to meet Edom. Here you see him. August and I encouraged him with the fact there are many Bible believers like ourselves who support, defend, and stand by the Jewish people. We familiarized Edom with God's plan for the Jewish people, past, present, and future, centered around the covenants, Bible prophecy, and the two comings of Yeshua the Messiah from both testaments of the Jewish Bible. For that reason, we told him God will never forsake or cast off Israel from being a nation before him. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, Romans 11, 1 and 2. Edom was comforted by the word of God as we come to the land of promise to bring the comfort of God's word to his ancient people, Isaiah 40, verse 1, to further this comfort to the fullest. August and I gave Edom a complete Jewish Bible and Messianic gospel literature to aid him to see Yeshua is the Messiah of Israel from the Holy Scriptures. So you see there, August is going over the Messianic prophecy pamphlet with him. And he appreciated our support and encouragement from the gospel and Jewish scriptures. And this is probably our third Hannah that we met over there. I think we met three Israelis that were named Hannah. You recall the Orthodox lady earlier. And so Hannah received our gospel witness with joy and interest. With her, August and I discussed the need for the Jewish people to know Yeshua the Messiah from their own Bible. She took us up on our offer and received a complete Hebrew Bible and Hebrew gospel tracts to give Hannah the opportunity to believe in Yeshua for salvation and life eternal. Amen. Now, this was interesting. We were leaving the Malkamal Mall, and the security guard out there it was the Lord giving us favor. He just started, this guy sees hundreds of people every day, and he just started talking with us, wanting to know where we were from, and showing his appreciation that we came from America to Israel. And so this security guard took a liking to us right away. August and I knew, obviously, this was favor from the Lord so that we could share the gospel of Yeshua the Messiah with him. His name was Ani. He was very joyful and enthusiastically said he would take a Hebrew Bible from us And he said, with the Brit Hadashah, and he was all for that. After hearing our testimony about the messiahship of Yeshua, Ani's spiritual appetite was whetted. Now that this ministry has put a complete Bible with Messianic gospel tracts in his hand, he can now drink from the waters of spiritual life from Jesus, the fount of living water. So we pray that that will indeed bring satisfaction and salvation to his soul. John 7:37-38. Amen. And then we go to the caves of the patriarchs, the cave of Machpelah. Abraham, that was the first piece of land that Abraham bought in the ancient city of Hebron, or Hebron, as we say. Hebron was also the first capital of David's kingdom for 7.5 years, but it was an ancient burial plot that Abraham bought to bury himself, Isaac, and Jacob in. Leah and Rebekah are buried there. Rachel was buried in Bethlehem. Isaac's tomb is on the Islamic side, so we weren't able to go over there. We did a good YouTube teaching there, but here we are in Hebron, and this building houses the tombs of the patriarchs and the matriarchs. And this building is not a modern building. It's one of the most well-preserved buildings during the second temple period of Judaism. It was built by Herod the Great to house the tombs of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Rachel, and Leah. And you'll see some of these stones are the Herodian stones. This is the tomb, entering into the tomb of Yaakov. Patriarch Jacob is believed to be, there is a sarcophagus in there for each one of them. And that is the patriarch Jacob buried there. And it's a synagogue, obviously. And this is Abraham's tomb behind the lattice work there. And that is the building where they are buried. And this is, believe it or not, this is traditional food eaten during the Feast of Trumpets. That's a fish head, by the way. There's nothing in there. It's completely hollow. But you can eat the other stuff, pomegranates and so forth. All right. Our gospel ministry in the morning following the day of ministering at the Malkamal and visiting the ancient cave of Machpelah began with our Arab kitchen waiter. His name was Zechariah. If you remember, we ministered to another Arab man earlier in the Galilee who was named Zechariah. He appreciated our witness for Jesus the Messiah as we showed him about the saving life of this great God and Messiah with him using an Arab gospel tract. I don't have one with me, entitled The Greatest Story Ever Told. Zechariah also took a Hebrew Bible from us as well. Okay. So that day our gospel ministry took us to the road about 35 miles south of Jerusalem, to En Gedi, a beautiful oasis in the Negev Desert, located on the western shore of the Dead Sea. It was at En Gedi where David fled from the murderous pursuit of King Saul, 1 Samuel 24:1-2. I've actually been to the cave in En Gedi where David fled to, the actual cave called Adullam. It's about an hour and a half trek from the entrance to the National Park of En Gedi. That was years ago. Takes about an hour and a half to get there, I don't think. In my shape today and in my age, I couldn't do that. But today in Getty is a beautiful national park, and we are visiting the gift shop. August Rosado and I gave witness about the Messiah of the Jewish Bible to Dor, a young Jewish Israeli girl working there. Our focus with her was on the fact that God raised up the Jewish people from Abraham to bring the greatest spiritual blessings of the scriptures, the Messiah, and salvation in him to first Israel and then the world. Those immense blessings, we told Dor, compelled us out of love for Am Segula, the chosen people, to personally bring back those blessings to them, that they may know God's plan for them to accept the Messiahship of Jesus foretold by Moses and the prophets and believe on him for salvation and eternal life. Dor was emotionally touched over this good news and the gift of the scriptures we gave her out of deep love and gratitude for the Lord's ethnic people from which he came through at the incarnation, John 1:1-2. As we exited in Getty, by the way, there's onyx there. They're famous for the onyx with the long horns. You'll actually see some there in a minute. They were in the parking lot, running through the parking lot. We took a picture of them. But as we exited in Getty, we felt led to share the gospel with Leon. He was a park employee. Before that, this is the beautiful waterfall in Getty. That's a fresh water waterfall. And on holidays, the national park, and on Shabbat, the national parks are open, and Israelis routinely go there. It's a beautiful waterfall there. It's an oasis in the desert. Palm trees, fresh running water. Look at that. It's absolutely gorgeous. This region is dotted with a lot of caves. So once again, the Bible proves itself geographically accurate in minute detail. I've been to Israel 61 times, and the geography is absolutely accurate, pinpoint accurate in the scriptures. And this is the thorn bush that many scholars believe were used for the crown of thorns. They are in Jerusalem. They are in parts of the Negev Desert. We can get a good picture of that. Here's some of the onyx running through there. And there is a synagogue there. I forgot the name of it. It was a 2nd or 3rd century synagogue in Getty. And that's a model of it. And this is the mosaic of the synagogue floor. And this is where the ark stood, where the Torah scroll was housed. Beautiful mosaic here. And this is a better picture of the Christ thorn bush. Christi spinum, I believe, is the Latin term for it. So here is Leon. I told you about him. He was very much appreciative, accepting a complete Hebrew Bible from us, explaining with the Messianic Gospel tracts the need for all Jewish people like himself to know Messiah has come, to bring salvation to the Jew first and learn about his foretold coming in the Tanakh and his arrival and soon return in the Berit Hadashah. Leon said, quote, he was blessed and glad to receive what we shared and gave him when coming to Biblical En Gedi. There he is. And that's August with Leon and then myself with him. Look at that. Amen. So pray for Leon. There's more onyx in the En Gedi region. And these animals are, they can climb the steepest of cliffs. They are nimble, quick, and very lithe. There's another picture of the mosaic in the synagogue.
but this is kind of out of sequence.
Okay. So August and I, on the September 24th, decided to revisit, go to the outskirts of Jerusalem, to the beautiful pine-forested hill country and the small suburb of En Karim. Is anybody familiar with En Karim? E-N-K-E-R-E-M. Well, En Karim is where early church tradition, dating to about the 4th century, believes was the birthplace of Yohanan HaMatbil, John the Baptist. Praise God, we went there to share the gospel of repentance, just like the forerunner of Messiah, John the Baptist, did when preparing the way for the Lord Jesus. Now, keep in mind, this was during a holiday. All the shops are closed, so the Holy Spirit gave us opportunity where to go. So we were pretty much confined to the streets and mostly to the restaurants. So we decided to go to En Karim and preach there in a sense to prepare the hearts to receive the gospel of Messiah. Isaiah 43. Powerfully preached, so, and putting trust in Yeshua, the one John prepared the way for. She was surprisingly supportive and agreed with our biblical message of repentance and belief in the gospel of Jesus the Messiah. Pascal replied, "It is great to hear something like this," quote unquote. She had some familiarity with New Testament Christianity, we suspected. And then she went on to say about what we were doing, get this, there isn't enough of this going on in the land. That is an understatement. From that, we were able to get Pascal a Hebrew Bible and an Arab gospel tract. She knew of the way and was encouraged over the need for confession of sins to God, repentance, and trust in the only remedy for sin, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me go back here. Oh, I have to go back. This is out of sequence.
Back to the picture you have. Oh.
There we go, right there.
Thank you, sir.
Caesar was another open Israeli. Right off, he was Jewish. Right off, he told us he was not religious. August and I were quick to say, you don't need to be religious when receiving, when reading and studying the Word of God, which is able to save the soul through the person and perfect work of Yeshua the Messiah by a new birth and a personal relationship with the God of Israel through his son Yeshua the Messiah, John 3:3-8, John 17:3. The best way God has facilitated this is by giving his word in the Jewish Bible. Caesar took us up upon that invitation and took a Hebrew Bible from us to hopefully begin the new journey on the road of salvation. Amen.
Oh, I'm going back.
Okay, that picture, that's the front of the church of St. John the Baptist in En Karim. Push the down button again.
To move it forward. Okay.
Well, that's what I did.
Go on, continue.
And this is the parking lot in En Karim where we did a teaching on the need for repentance with salvation. There is an insidious teaching going on in the church today, primarily among peddlers of the hyper grace movement that, you don't need to repent, just believe. So they've created a false dichotomy between repentance and faith when they're part and parcel of each other. Romans 2:4-5, God gives you through his kindness the ability to repent and believe for salvation. So anybody who's telling you that the gospel doesn't involve repentance is preaching another gospel and not the biblical gospel. All right, which one I'm getting? This one?
No, go forward.
This one, okay. So we did a teaching there. It's available on YouTube, August's YouTube page. And, of course, that's Pascal. All right. Today, August Rosado and I left Jerusalem, unfortunately, for the gorgeous northern coastal city of Haifa. Ah, but before leaving there, we had an excellent opportunity to share the gospel with a Muslim employee, Shamsaya. He was working in the kitchen at our hotel. He was very, very attentive to us, so we boldly told him what the God of the universe did in sending his own divine son. Underline that. When we witnessed to Muslims, we mentioned God does have a son, and that son is God in the flesh, none other than Jesus. So we told him what God of the universe did in sending his own divine son, Jesus, to save all who come to him in faith. All who come to him in faith, John 3, 6. Shamsia was joyfully open to receive this good news, accepting a Bible from us and an Arabic gospel tract. Amen. And then we quickly went to Ben Yehuda Street because we wanted to talk to a young man we met there a year ago at a mini mart. We ran out of Bibles at that point in time. No, wait, that was, yeah, it was either a year ago or 6 months ago. And August and I promised ourselves when we come back, he's getting a Bible and he's getting messy in a gospel tract, and we're witnessing him. So, and guess what? This young man owns a mini mart. He was very friendly when we met him 6 months or a year ago, but we did not have a Bible and messianic gospel tracts to give him. This time was different. He remembered us from the last visit. The man's name was Doran. We told him of the greatest event that happened in the city of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago concerning Yeshua, the Messiah, how God raised him from the dead, and that by faith in him, we can ultimately have total victory over death in the end. 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 57. Doran was ecstatic at this news and gladly received a copy of the scriptures in Hebrew from August and I. Amen. So pray for Doran. We'll go back and visit him and water that seed. We try to revisit people when we can. Circumstances don't always allow it because they change jobs or they're no longer there. And so pray for Doran. All right. So at the Grand Canyon Mall in Haifa, the Lord had us powerfully share and prove from the scriptures that Yeshua is both Lord and Messiah, worthy of trust and belief from the people of Israel, to give the Jewish people opportunity to see and study this for themselves. August and I drove this home with two Israeli Jewish women, Liat and Zanya. I believe this is Liat here that August is ministering to. Having never heard this kind of news before, both ladies were initially surprised, but the Spirit of God opened their hearts and minds to receive Hebrew Bibles and Messianic gospel tracts to further elucidate and confirm what we humbly declared to them. Amen. And I believe this is Zion. He has Bible in hand. All right, you see that picture? I got to go over it quickly. This was a sad situation. Not this picture, but the picture before that. Me handing the Bible behind to the hotel clerk. Now, let me explain what went on. At our hotel in Haifa, we further, and I wrote this before what she treacherously did an hour later. I wrote this before that. At the hotel, I wrote it in my journal, at the hotel in Haifa, we had the ministry of the word with Eleanor, an employee, emphasizing to her the indispensable importance of being born again by the power of God's word. She initially or appeared to accept the inerrant scriptures. I asked her if she was a Christian or something to that effect. She said she was a Maronite Christian. A Maronite Christian is a sacramental Christian. And you know, with that kind of Christianity, they don't preach the gospel and they don't talk about being born again through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's why I was emphasizing to her about being born again, not going to church and engaging in a religious ritual. That doesn't save you. John 3:3-8. But I will say with Eleanor and other Arabs who tell us they're Christians, usually when they tell us that, sadly, they are nominal Christians, name only Christians in the land who have never experienced the new birth. This ministry makes sure to point them to true Christianity based on scripture alone and not the empty religious rituals and vain church traditions. An hour later, after she appeared to be open and receptive to receiving the gospel and the Bible, an hour later, we get a threatening call from security in our hotel room. She turned us into security and didn't like the fact that we took a picture of me handing her a Bible. Even though she saw it, she had every right to not want her picture taken. She should have told us that. But there was a veiled threat there. And in my thinking, if you're a Christian and someone witnesses to you, you joyfully tell them, hey, I'm a born-again Christian. Thanks for getting out there and sharing the gospel. I support what you do. I do it myself. Or you would think she would be thrilled that out of love, we would share the gospel with her, whether a Christian or not a Christian, and give her the Bible. But no, she called security and had them basically threaten us. So, you know, sometimes we get this in Israel, whether it's from an Arab or a Jew. They feign like they're interested in your ministry. They take the Bible only later to turn against you. I had it happen to me a couple years ago. I won't get into that, but this is what she did. We debated about whether we should confront her and tell her we didn't appreciate the fact that you called security. You totally overreacted. If you didn't want to receive the Bible or have your picture taken, you should have told us from the outset instead of calling security. And we didn't say anything in the end. We were very close to saying something because I stay at the Dan hotels in Israel a lot of the times, and I'm an E Dan club member. They put you on there after you stay in their hotel so many times. And I was debating about complaining to the management saying, look, I'm a member here. I bring you a lot of money and I don't appreciate being treated like this. It was totally uncalled for, but we didn't do it. Next time when we go to Haifa, if she is there, I probably will say something because I'm not going to be intimidated by anybody when it comes to sharing the gospel in Israel. I almost faced jail twice doing this over there, and I'm not going to let this intimidate me or stop me. But she reacted in a totally wrong and inappropriate way, to say the least. Having said that, pray that she will get born again and delivered from the empty rituals of false Christianity. Amen. All right, well, today our gospel ministry took us to the Israeli Mall in Haifa. There are two big malls at Haifa. There's the Grand Canyon Mall, which we already have been to, and then there is the Israeli Mall in Haifa. August Rosado and I had a challenging discussion with an Ethiopian Jewish woman by the name of Hava. You see her here. Once we shared a Chabesirah, the gospel, with her, Hava honestly told us she did not believe. And I appreciate that honesty. She's not pretending to be with us and then turning against us like somebody else I just mentioned. She said she bluntly told us she did not believe. So instead of just walking away, we felt led by the Spirit to gently challenge her to at least take a complete Hebrew Bible and Messianic gospel tracts from us and read them with an open mind about the irrefutable evidence for Yeshua being the Messiah of Israel and the world. As proof of this claim, We showed her some of the many messianic prophecies in the Tanakh that Yeshua exclusively fulfilled at his first coming. Reading these with the Hebrew Bible, she received, at our insistence, we believe will produce saving faith in her heart. As she hears and now can read the Word of God. And there I'm showing, in the process of showing her some of those prophecies. It's not working. Got one more picture. Yeah, there you go. This is the last picture. So, to wind up here, we at the Azraeli Mall in Haifa, we next approached Shai, a jewelry store owner who welcomed our gospel ministry about Yeshua the Messiah to him. Shai repeatedly gave his agreement with us by saying several times over, yes, when we shared such things like every Jewish person needs to learn and know about Yeshua, the greatest Jew in person in the world, the New Testament, from the New Testament scripture, and that his claims of being the Messiah must be taken seriously in light of his resurrection from the dead. We went on to tell Shai, all of this was promised before by God's prophets in the Holy Scriptures, Romans 1:2. Shai demonstrated his openness to our witness by taking a Hebrew Bible from us with Messianic Gospel tracts given to him to guide him through this saving theme revealed throughout the Word of God. And so thus completes the 58th gospel outreach. And with that, we shall continue to bring the gospel back to the Jew first in Israel, knowing that unless we are sent, most people will not hear the gospel in Israel. And I go back to what Paul said in Romans 10, 14 and 15. For how concerning the people of Israel in the land, for how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And folks, we must continue this gospel ministry to the Jewish people because, again, it is a spiritual ghost town in Israel when it comes to gospel ministry. The churches in this country have miserably failed. 99% of the churches in this country don't do Jewish evangelism in Israel. And most of the Messianic community doesn't do Jewish evangelism. Now, they will do humanitarian work, but that's putting the cart before the donkey. You first need to address the spiritual need of the sinner. And that can only be, that remedy can only be given in it. By faith in Yeshua HaMashiach, foretold in the Tanakh, and come and will come again, is revealed primarily in the Berit Hadashah, the New Testament. So with that, folks, I make another appeal. I know you get sick of me telling you how much we need your support, but you have to do that constantly because people will forget. They'll become indolent. The need is urgent to take the gospel to Israel, and also to do this ministry full-time. We not only go to Israel, but we teach the Word of God and so forth. But the main component of this ministry is Jewish evangelism in Israel. And again, I would make an appeal to you out there to please consider supporting us. We've been doing Jewish evangelism in Israel in obedience to Romans 1:16 for 24 years. So we are not Johnny Come Latelys. We're not greenhorns. We have been doing this, and by the grace of God, we are veterans in this type of ministry. I've written two books covering the first 11 years of our outreaches in Israel, And from 11 years on up to the present day, it's also been covered in our the ministry newsletter, Berit Chadashah Ministries, and Search the Scriptures. So again, if you would like to support this ministry and its end-time gospel outreach to the people in the land of divine destiny, then you can click on that donate link, and it will take you to our safe, secure, and encrypted donate page. Thank you again for your support, for all out there, and for the folks in here that support us. Thank you for supporting this ministry. We walk and live by faith from week to week. We don't have this, you know, mega budget that we allocate all funds to because we're so sure we're going to get so much money in. It's a faith walk, but each and every day and every week, God provides our financial manna so that this vital ministry can continue. We cannot let it become inoperable. We can't let this ministry stop. We have to go forward, especially as we are on the cusp of end time events, of which the Jewish people and Israel will play a central part. And so thank you again. Look for our teaching. We'll be back in our teaching on the church, issues of ecclesiology, on matters concerning the church from Scripture. Thursday, Lord willing, mid to late morning, we'll be back on Thursday. And the next week, we will be back, Lord willing, in the book of Jeremiah. And again, you see the fruits of our labor here. If you love the Jewish people, the greatest thing you can do is support ministries that reach the gospel, reach them for the gospel, or do that yourself, either way. Well, until next time, shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alekem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.